Last time I was interviewed, I made a number of predictions. This is before the last election. And I predicted that Joe Biden would win the popular vote between 5 and 10 million. He won it by 7. I predicted that the three key states were Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. But I said, watch Georgia. That could flip. Mm-hmm. That turned out. And I said that before the end of Trump's term, over 500,000 people will perish by COVID. So I was on the mark.
That was the voice of Dr. Bill Baarsma, who served as the 37th mayor of Tacoma from 2001 to 2009. He knows what he is talking about. He is an astute observer and participant in government. He has a doctorate in public administration, and his dissertation was A Study of Dissension and Conflict Over Council-Manager Government in Tacoma, Washington. Prior to his election as mayor, Baarsma taught political science, business, and public administration at the University of Puget Sound and served on the Tacoma City Council from 1992 to 1999. He is now retired but volunteers at the Tacoma Historical Society, where he serves as president. This is part two of a conversation with Dr. Bill Baarsma. Part one, he talked about campaigning and campaign finances, much of which changed after the Supreme Court ruling in the Citizens United case in 2010. This time, he talks about the roles of the mayor, city council, city managers, and non-elected executives. As city council and mayor, you've got a lot of insight into all of the workings and you know, all of the sausage being made. The question is, for me, is that what is the job? I mean, the city council, I've gone to a couple of things where I've testified against, so we can't do this, we shouldn't do that, or we should do this, and all that kind of stuff. You know, and I don't know that the mayor's ever been there. I don't know what the mayor does besides bang a gavel. So what's your take on that?
Well, That's a question we spent a long time on. You know, a little about my background, of course, 16 years at the dais, 8 as a council member, elected at large, citywide, 8 as a mayor. So I have that. I wrote my doctoral dissertation on Tacoma politics. So I've done a lot of research and how this system all came into being. But anyway, and also I worked for the city of Tacoma. I worked in the city manager's office when I was in graduate school. David Rollins was the city manager. Prior to going to graduate school, after I graduated from UPS, I worked for the Tacoma Public Utilities, and the utility director at the time was Cliff Erdahl, and the city was building Mossy Rock Dam, one of the largest hydroelectric facilities, municipal electrical facilities in the country, and so I've had a lot of background relative to the City of Destiny and this one. Tacoma's had there are three forms of government. Tacoma's experienced all three. In the early days, after the territory became a state, we had a mayor-council system. That's what you see in Seattle. That's what you see in Spokane. That's what you see in Everett. And the mayor is the chief executive officer, like the governor and the president. The mayor nominates the department heads, heads of various departments that are confirmed by the council. The council is the legislative body. Back in those days, council members were all elected by district. And by the way, they were partisan elections back then. And so that was what we had in the early days from 1890 to 1909. And then Tacoma decided, the citizens decided, kind of a consensus, that the system with their 16 council members, you know, the 16 council members, believe it or not, on the city council and the mayor. And there was all sorts of disputes and supposed scandals. And there was a mayor that were impeachment. The last mayor, by the way, strong mayor, was impeached but not convicted. Had to be an honest guy, it turns out. Well, then they changed it to the commission form of government. And from 1909 until 1953, we had the commission system, which came originally from Galveston, Texas. And the idea was to shorten the ballot. Rather than have all these elected officials, let's just have 5. And those five, six with a elected attorney, corporation counsel, they would call it. So you'd shorten the ballot, and it'd be nonpartisan elections, and it would be a charter that would include, the steps of direct democracy, tools of direct democracy, initiative, referendum, and recall. We actually had a mayor recalled from office back then. And so it was supposedly simple, straightforward. It was like a business model. It was the reform system. It came to Galveston because of the Galveston flood. Mm-hmm. And the government that was established couldn't function. How do you create something that can make decisions and can move the city forward? So they came up with this commission system. That's what Tacoma had, nonpartisan elections. All the commissioners were elected citywide. There was the mayor and four commissioners. And each of the commissioners had administrative as well as legislative authority. So individually, they were commissioners. Collectively, they were council members. So there was a commissioner of public utilities, commissioner of public works, mm-hmm. commissioner of finance, and there was a commissioner of public safety. And then the mayor had certain departments, public health, sanitation, so on. And the mayor was the presiding officer of the council. And that system was in vogue from 1909 up until 1952, at which point citizens chose to change the former government to a council manager system. One of the big compromises in writing the charter was to get it passed. Those who were supporting the city manager system felt they had a compromise politically. They created a separate public utilities with a separate director or city manager under a separate board, policymaker board. So they established this hybrid system that we now have. And with nine council members, there's only one other city that has nine council members, and that's Seattle. So it's the largest council in the state, along with Seattle. The others have seven, Everett and Spokane, and Bellevue, Vancouver. And so the council would be part-time, $25 a meeting, by the way, back in those days, believe it or not. The mayor would be selected from the council, not separately elected. And then there would be a utility board of five members. The council would select the city manager, who then would run the government. And the utility board would select the utility director, who then would run the utilities, three utilities. That was the way it was. So it was a lot of confusion as to who was really running things, you know. In point of fact, about 70% of the budget falls under the utilities and the utility director and the utility board. Only about less than 20% is general government. That's police, fire, public works, libraries, all of that only represents between 15 and 20% of the overall budget. Most of it goes into running the hydroelectric dams and the water system and the three railroads that we operate. And that's under Jackie Flowers. Interestingly enough, this is a historic period, I will say, because all of the people who are running things are both women. This is the first time ever. Jackie Flowers and our city manager. So, and the mayor happens to be a woman as well. So it's kind of a unique regard. Anyway, so that in 1958, there was an effort in 56 to bring back a strong mayor form of government. A strong mayor system was on the ballot. Freeholders were elected, and they framed the charter. And it went down narrowly to defeat. The issue was utilities, the integrity of the utilities. That was the driving issue that led to the defeat, because it was going to be like Seattle. We're going to consolidate all government under the mayor and the council. And that led to a lot of resistance and the defeat of that charter. So in 58, the citizens changed the election so that the mayor would be elected separately and council members would be elected by position, not district, mm-hmm. but by position. Mm-hmm. That was important because you then could file against an incumbent. You just didn't run as a group, with the top vote getters being on the council. So that changed things. But still, there's always been a question of who really runs things, who's on first, who's... Now, theoretically... the council should be the policymaking body, and the manager should carry out the policy and should be within the administrative realm. But in point of fact, the city managers, there have been city managers in the past that have kind of taken on the role of strong mayors. They're really been policy initiators and have dominated the political realm. Mm-hmm.
And there's no back push against that?
Yes. Well, yes, there has been. And as a matter of fact, all of those city managers have either been fired or forced to resign. Because when that happens, you know, you've got to have at least five people on the council willing to go along with the program. And then eventually it becomes the ins and the outs. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable. And once that happens and the outs become the majority, you're out. But the people don't defeat you at the ballot box. You just happen to lose that five votes on the city council and you're gone. So those city managers that have been, Elizabeth Pauley is our current city manager. I'll talk about her in a minute. But the three city managers that have been real strong mayor types that have been in the limelight, had so on the front page of the paper, not behind the scenes. David Rollins, who came here from Eau Claire and Wisconsin and was brought in to sell up the former government, you know, because of the strong mayor threat. You know, he became a leader. Gave the state of the city address. That was the city manager that gave the city the state of the city address. I want you to know. And then the next one that was even stronger politically, more skilled, was Ray Corpus. And Ray Corpus had never managed anything in his life of consequence when he was appointed city manager. But he was a skilled lobbyist and had connections at Olympia and in Washington D.C. When Booth Gardner was governor and the local people were in charge of the legislature. It was called the Pierce County Mafia back then. And then the third strong mayor type was Eric Anderson. Now, in the case of Rollins had resigned because he could see he no longer had five on the council. So he resigned after 13 years. Ray Corpus was fired on a 5-4 vote. I was the mayor at the time. It's a little story as to how that happened. It was unfortunate. He should have stepped down. But he forced us into taking that vote. And then and then of course Eric Anderson was fired. There were a couple of council members not present. I think that was a 7-1 vote. It might have been 7-2 if another council member had been present. So when the city managers play that role, it's high risk. Now the current city manager, Elizabeth Pauley, is former city attorney. She understands clearly the role of the city manager, and she's really been out of the limelight, really low-key. The guy they brought in from San Antonio that's now in Dallas, Brodnack, the man of mystery. He was truly a man of mystery. No one knew anything about him. He just came in, was here for a couple of years, and gone. But he ran the government. Mm-hmm. And he had a very close working relationship with the mayor, who was responsible for bringing him on board, and he knew it, mm-hmm. Marilyn Strickland. Very interesting professional relationship between those two. Very, very kind of unique. And then, of course, Jim Walton, who was the first African-American after Corpus had left, he understood the role of the city manager, that you are not to be in the policy initiator openly, but you're to be in the background, kind of, you know, making, doing the management work. There was a majority of the council that wanted someone from the outside, someone new. And so Jim was kind of forced out. It was over my objection because he was one of my best city managers. Early Moore, who was city manager for many years, had been deputy city manager for Bill Donaldson, also understood. Now, the one exception of a guy who was out there that got along with the council was Bill Donaldson. But he was here for a short period of time, and it came from Scottsdale, Arizona. See, I knew all these people.
Yeah.
Came from Scottsdale, Arizona, and he had such a magnetic personality that people just loved the guy. The council just loved the guy. And he always knew how to put council members, you know, in the limelight, you know, to give them credit. Mm-hmm. But he was also a policy initiator, but left on his own terms. The only one, I think, the only one of that nature that left on his own terms. He went to Cincinnati to be the city manager there.
So it seems to me, I just want to make sure that I kind of understand. So the council's elected,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the mayor's elected.
Right.
And sometimes it seems to me that's a popularity contest rather than that they have the knowledge necessary. I don't know. So the city manager comes in, and they're somebody who actually has management experience.
With the one exception I mentioned.
Well, okay, but that's the idea.
Yeah, that's right? The idea, correct. Okay. Nationwide search. It was supposed to be, you're supposed to have a nationwide search and get the very best person available.
Okay, so you have the people that are elected that are responsible to the voters and have the connection there.
Right.
And people know, oh, okay, so I have this question, I call up, you know, my representative or whatever. And so then it's someone with management experience that is hired to do that work.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm understanding how that...
That's the theory.
Okay.
It's, you know, the idea...
At least I got the theory.
Yeah, the idea is that cities are, quote, here's the idea, cities are municipal corporations. Mm-hmm. Technically, they are. Mm-hmm. And so this theory is that you should essentially organize city government like you organize a corporation. So you have a board of directors, mm-hmm. and the board of directors, usually there's a president that's a presiding officer, and that board of directors then appoints the CEO. Mm-hmm. And the CEO serves at the pleasure of the board. And then the CEO runs the corporation. And that's essentially the idea. Now, what's confusing to people in Tacoma is that we have two corporations, not one, mm-hmm. essentially, or mm-hmm. two operations within mm-hmm. one corporation. You have the municipal corporation, which is a hybrid. And that kind of violates all these, the basic rule where you have a chain of command, mm-hmm. where you know who the policymakers are and who the CEO is. Well, here you've got two policymaking bodies. And two CEOs. That's what's confusing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Tacoma is unique. It's not that is not the case up north in Seattle. Seattle has its own municipal power entity. Spokane doesn't, but Seattle does. And Seattle Power and Seattle Water is directly under the authority of the mayor mm-hmm. and the council. Mm-hmm. There isn't a separate board that runs the utilities. Now, what makes it even more complicated is that there are some utilities that are under the city manager and not under the utility board. That creates some, you know, there's a refuse utility, you know. People pick up the garbage. That's a utility.
Yeah.
That's under the general government. And there's the wastewater utility. Mm-hmm. You know, who treats the, when we flush the toilet. And,
yeah.
You know, that utility is under the general government. So you've got two big utilities under general government, and you've got three under the separate board. And you've got the two CEOs. The highest paid CEO is Jackie Flowers, the highest paid person. Now, there was a big change in the charter. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very controversial because the charter was changed to allow the city council to approve the appointment of the utility director. So prior to that change, which was in 2014, I believe, or 2012, I think it was 2014, 2016, not important, the change took place. That was resisted by the utilities. That was resisted by the News Tribune. But the citizens said, you know, this person who makes $300,000 a year should kind of come under our elected officials. And there was, you know, and former utility director said, that's the end of our utilities. Yet we got one of the best candidates in the country to come in and take the job. And I submit that that's really improved things because the city council now has a stake in the success of the utility director. Mm-hmm. And the utility director isn't viewed as antagonistic to the general government like they had been over many years. There's always been this tension. Mm-hmm. So I supported that idea, and I think that's been a positive change. There's a lot here to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, I've lived in Tacoma.
Sure.
Well, I was born here and moved away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's only been certain times when I've really been engaged with the system.
Yeah.
And that was years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see how things have changed.
There have been occasions where the utilities become really big politically, you know, and that was when they eventually sold Click Network, the cable TV part of Click Network, and the internet part of Click Network.
Yeah,
I was very, very much behind it. That's another conversation we can have.
Yeah,
the whole story of how we ended up building the largest municipally owned telecommunications system in North America.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the time, yeah. The other thing I, you know, and we can talk about the utilities, another program, but utilities provide services to people outside the city of Tacoma. We provide water to University Place. Mm-hmm. We bailed out University Place.
Yeah, I live in Faircrest now, and I pay Tacoma.
Well, yeah, and we provide services to Faircrest. We provide fire service to Faircrest. We provide fire service to Fife. We provide water to a whole array of communities outside of, not just University Place, but communities outside of Tacoma, and electricity to parts of Lakewood, to University Place, and maybe, I'm not sure, Faircrest, maybe Faircrest. So so the utilities go beyond the boundaries of, and we have a rail, we have three railroads, by the way,
oh, really?
That we operate. Not one, but three.
Wow.
And operated through the, to the utilities. So that's a story for another mm-hmm. program. We can talk about, you know, the and maybe we can, and as the election draws near, we can talk about what's going on in local elections. Actually, there's only one contested race right now, and that's out in the 50s. When I say contested race, there are people filed, but, you know, if you haven't raised money at this point,
sure,
you're not in the game. So the only one that, at this point, we have two incumbents that are not running for re-election, which is unusual. Opening up two seats that not term limited, they just chose not to run. They have their own reasons. Out in the 5th District, there are two candidates out there that are running. There may be someone else that will file. There may be a primary. If only two are filed, there won't be a primary. They both raised around $11,000. So that's the only candidate. There's the incumbent in the 4th District, Catherine Ruschka. She has an opponent that's raised $68. Mm-hmm. She's raised over $15,000. I'm not talking about the PACs now. I'm not talking about PACs. That's a, there's a candidate running at large, Kara Daniels. Big surprise that Lillian Hunter, who could have won re-election, is not running. So Kara Daniels has raised over $30,000. She has an opponent, but he's raised less than $3,000. There's only one opponent that's raised any money in the open, vacant 2nd District. Sarah Rumbaugh raised $16,000. Her opponent's raised zero and probably will not file. And then our mayor has raised nearly $60,000, has no opponent, and no opponent surfaced. It's pretty sad. Anyway.
Well, there's a lot more to talk about, that's for sure. Thank you for joining us. I am looking forward to further conversations with Dr. Barsma, as well as other volunteers with the Tacoma Historical Society.